Is he great tonight? Is your God great? He wants to show you. He wants you to know. He wants all the earth to know. Heaven is longing for the earth to know his greatness. The earth is groaning to know the redemption that is in Christ. Let heaven and earth come together. God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. There's no sickness and disease in heaven. We thank you for no sickness and disease right here in Jesus' name. No poverty and lack in heaven. Let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. No depression, no oppression, no possession, hallelujah, in heaven. Let it be done on earth. Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about a couple things as we were worshiping. I was just, as we were down there, that's that song. Of course, you sing anything by William McDowell, and I'm going to be excited. But anyway, those of you who don't know him, you need to find out about his ministry and his music. But I was sitting down there, and I was just thinking about the goodness of God and how much Rhema Bible Church is loved by God. We have here some of the most outstanding worship leaders and singers and musicians in all the world. And having traveled a lot of places in the world, I was just looking up here. And now, Brooke, are you from here? Originally, Cody, how about you? Oklahoma originally? No. From Hawaii? Of course, Cynthia's family. Were you born here? Or were you in Florida? But her family's originally from Haiti. Cece's from Mississippi. Joe Bob? Oklahoma. Noah? Bavia, Florida. All the world. Yeah, here, all over the place. All of our musicians. But David back there, wave at everybody, David. His grandfather was my regional director in Illinois. His grandfather was a man of God, him and his grandmother. And I haven't known him, but I've known his folks for a long, long time. Dwayne, who's playing drums? Is that Dwayne tonight? Hey, Dwayne. Hallelujah. There's another Illinois guy. We got three up here tonight, right? Counting me. Hallelujah. Idaho. Where are you from? Alabama. All right. Now, do you Roll Tide or War Eagle? Roll Tide. All right. All right. God bless you. You can be seated. Give these guys another great hand clap. We are so loved by God. I mean, you know, praise God. You think we just, yeah. I had somebody, you know, I was a worship leader for several years, and some folks asked me, well, why don't you? I said, have you heard our folks sing? I mean, have you heard these folks? You know, it's like, some folks, you know, there's folks that sing the national anthem, but then Whitney sang the national anthem. And no one else can sing the national anthem. Sandy, Patty, but Whitney sang it, and that was it. And I decided right then I will never, ever sing the national anthem in public, ever. With a mic, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to lead it. I'll sing along with somebody, unless they're playing Whitney's version, and I'm... Right, Jeremiah, you played it every once in a while at the basketball games, I know. And yeah, you can hear those jets fly. Anyway, the whole thing. Some of you don't remember that. You need to look up Whitney Houston National Anthem. You'll find out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want us to go back to Genesis chapter 2, just to spend some time in the Word here and talk about something that most of a lot are familiar. But let's put ourselves in remembrance of something. And I want to talk tonight about words of life. Words of life. And this is something that we have to stay in constant remembrance of. I know I do. Stay in constant remembrance to watch my words. What am I saying about situations? What am I saying? What does God's word say about it? Because if I want to have the life of God, and we're going to see several scriptures remind ourselves that that's God's plan, that we have his life. His life. Glory to God. Here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man was created to be a possessor of the life of God. Okay, that's man. That's God's original creation. And so since that's God's original creation, we could say that's true for us also then. We are created to be possessors of the life of God. Now, when man sinned, it wasn't just a few short verses later. There, verse 16 and 17 said, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." What happened? They didn't die physically that day, but they experienced what we would call spiritual death. They were separated from the life of God. Physically, they lived hundreds more years, but they were separated from the life of God. So separated from God's original plan for mankind that is restored in Christ. Jesus came back to restore that. Now, he said as much. Let's go to John chapter 10. Let's read Craig Hagin's. It's not his favorite verse, but his favorite preaching verse, I think. Hallelujah. I don't know for you guys, how many of you guys were here Friday night for Brother Craig's message? And then today, I don't know. It just kind of hitting me and hitting me more and more. You got to stay around people who encourage you. Amen. Not people who speak the truth in love, but people who encourage you, that don't try to take the courage out of you. If you listen to the world, that's everything out there is going to take the courage out of you. But no, in these days, we need to be strong and courageous, right? Strong. And I just thank God for Pastor Craig and all that as he's been ministering. John 10:10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." So we understand that. "I am come now that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, one person pointed out that this word abundance means superior in quality. How many of you like that already? Superior in quality and superabundant in quantity. How many of you know when God breathed into man the breath of life, it was superior life to anything else? And the quality of it was superabundant. I mean, the quantity of it was superabundant. And Jesus came that we might have that life. Not just barely healed. Not just barely having enough strength to make it through the day. Not just barely having enough provision, but abundance in provision. Amen? The Williams translation says, "I have come for people to have life and have it till it overflows." Weiss translation says, "I alone came in order that they might be possessing life and that they might be possessing it in super abundance." I like that. Crickmer says, and evermore and more possessing. I like that. Evermore and more possessing. Glory to God. He said that he might come that we might have life. The 20th century says that they might have life and may have it in greater fullness. And then the Syriac version says that they might have life and may have that which is excellent. Excellent. Well, look in John chapter 3. When we know it's God's will, and that's what we're kind of doing now, looking at some of these familiar verses. When we know it's God's will for something. And sometimes we look around and we wonder, well, why don't I see that in my life? How many of you, be honest, how many of you could have a little bit more abundance in your life? Wouldn't bother you at all? Okay, if you don't want yours, just send it my way. Lord, I'll take every one of those abundances. They don't want theirs, just send it our way. We know what to do with it. Glory to God. But here, Jesus speaking in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," everybody say, "I am a whosoever." And so you can choose to believe, right? "Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, the Jordan translation says it, that all who trust him might have spiritual life. The New English Bible, that everyone who has faith in him may in him possess eternal life. This having is not just that you are actually the possessor of eternal life. Man, in the original, when God created him, possessed that eternal life. And it really affected his entire being. It's what made him a living soul. Up until that time, that body's just out of the dirt, dust of the earth. God formed it. But until he breathed into the life, that was just a body. Well, think about, look at Adam operate there in the beginning. He named every animal. How did he do that? That life is working in him. His mind is firing, you know, every neuron is firing up there. I don't care, you know, you've got frontal lobes, you've got all kinds of lobes. Every one of them was firing. The best you could do. He wasn't left there. He wasn't right. He had it all. That's how God created us. Well, you know, some people are left brain. Some people are right brain. How about let's be all brain? Let's let it all work when we need it. Whenever you need it, whatever side needs to work, work. Right? Praise the Lord. But how many know this part of this body that's going to be redeemed? We're going to get that body. It's not subject to that. But thank God. Now, John the Baptist speaking here, look at verse 36, same chapter, John 3:36, said, he that believes on the Son has, not gonna, has everlasting life. Say, I have everlasting life. He goes on to say, he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So, guess what? You don't have the wrath because you believe. We have got the life of God in us. It is ours. It's not something we're going to get. We are, again, Knox says, we possess eternal life. Wage translation says, he who believes on the Son has eternal life. He who disobeys the Son will have no experience of true life. We're talking about true life. How many know a lot of folks will decide what they think life is, but there's a true life. Now, Jesus here in John chapter 4 encounters the woman at the well. And he talks about, you know, he said, well, if you knew who it was, you'd ask me water and I'd give you, you'd never thirst again. The water would I give you. And she said, well, give me some of that water. But look what he says here in verse 13, John 4:13. Jesus answering said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now listen, I'm gonna say, understand it this way. It should be so natural for us. Now, when I say natural, I'm using that on purpose, because how many have heard of a natural spring water? It's so natural for us to have this life bubbling up on the inside of us, because God put it, God created us to be natural to us. Life is natural to us. That's why death at any level, it doesn't matter when, even though if somebody, you say, well, they lived out their life, we have a hard time accepting it, because it's natural to us as the children of God and as God's people, as created in his image, to live. Right? And we are going to live eternally, but any type of death we don't deal with, right? Because we don't like it, because it's not natural to us. It is the last enemy. How many of you know you don't hang around with your enemies? It is the last enemy that will be put underfoot. What? This natural death that's on the earth. But we don't like it. I don't like death. I'm against death. Amen? Now, I thank God that someone that does die, they're experiencing life. Right? Be absent with the bodies, be present with them. They're with Jesus. But I don't like death. I don't like it. When my, quote unquote, if there are such people, but my enemies die. No, that's, I don't like death. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. Right? I read something that a good friend of mine wrote on the, he wrote this on his WhatsApp, and he sends it out. I get his mailing. He sent this out. He says, you know what? The gospel is redemptive in nature. And so I'm not going to talk bad about anybody or give up on anybody. I'm going to pray for everyone. No matter how much it looks like they're going the wrong direction, the gospel, I know it's redemptive power. They can be redeemed. Amen? We just need to what? Send laborers forth. Lord, send laborers forth. All right. So let's look here. Let's go back now to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30. Now, none of these verses are really that new. They're fairly familiar to us. But Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. As the Lord, here's Lord talking to him about as they're coming into the promised land. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Because we are free will agents, God has always given us a choice. That's why he told Adam, don't eat of that tree. Choose to not do it. Choose to obey. It didn't mean that God didn't want them to know the difference between good and evil. I mean, if he wanted to tell, he could tell them that in a moment. But he said, don't eat of it. To give them that choice. Choose life. Choose life. And so, in order for us to be walking in this life that is supposed to be natural to us, we have to choose life. Choose blessing. Now, the way God has set things up in his kingdom, the way that we make choices is by what we believe and then what we say. When you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord. See, believe and say. Now, so look at Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Now, sometimes I think we have to stir ourselves up in these areas, because if we're not careful, we let these things slip. And we start speaking, we start with our words, we start speaking things that we don't want in our life. Amen. And the problem is, if we say it long enough, we end up believing it. Amen. Now, we know the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principles. When we say this, no person is my enemy, yet we think about people like they're our enemies. And we talk about them like they're our enemies. Amen? Well, they're of this religion, or they're from that country, or they're from this type of political system, or they're from, and we make them our enemies, whether consciously we do it, we make them our enemies, and we talk about them. Now, we could talk about the systems, but what about the people? The people are people whom Jesus has died for, his blood is shed for, and it's our job to get them the gospel. Even if it cost us our natural life for preaching it to them, they deserve to hear it preached. There are still places that men and women are going to go, and they are literally going to lay their life down just to say the name of Jesus where it's never been said. And they'll be put to death. But don't worry about them. Jesus will give them a standing ovation just like he did Stephen. Amen. They'll be welcomed into heaven. But they're gonna start. There's places. What did Brother Craig say? 6.5 billion, I think is what he said the other day, that they think are not even Christians. Now, 6.5, that's amazing. Proverbs 18:20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I never had really looked up that word power. It doesn't really necessarily mean authority, but you could say it this way. If I said to you, well, it's in your hands now, what does that mean? It's going to be up to me. That's what that word power there means. In fact, it's the word Hebrew word translated hand many times. It means whatever it is. Death and life, it's in your hands now. What are you going to say about this situation? Now, see, if I speak God's word, because the words that Jesus speaks, they are spirit and they are life. If I speak the word of God, if I speak what the Holy Spirit leads me to do, I'll always speak words of life. That's why sometimes it's just good to pray in tongues over the situation and find out later what we were praying about, because I don't know what to say. You look at that, go, oh, shandamu, boy, you know, I can't, ooh. I don't have words. I don't have the words right now to speak life over that. I don't know how to speak life to that situation. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, don't leave here tonight without it. I'll tell you that right now. So death and life. Now, you don't have to turn to it, but I'm going to read this quickly. Matthew 12, verses 34 through 37 says this, O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of there in the day of judgment. See, words are important. Because we don't realize everything we say is choosing life or it's choosing death. It's choosing blessing, it's choosing cursing. For by thy words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. As I mentioned, turn over to John chapter 6. Look what a statement here. We just got a couple more verses and we'll be done here. John chapter 6. Verse 63, Jesus made this statement. He said, it is the spirit that quickens, which means makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The rhema, because that's the word for words there, the rhema that I speak unto you are spirit and are life. And so several from that day, they went back. And they didn't, verse 66 says, they went back, didn't walk anymore with him. He turned to his disciples and said to the 12, are you going to go away? Look at verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the rhema of eternal life. See, this ministry is rhema because the rhema word is always a word that carries the life of God in it. When you speak it out of your mouth, it becomes a rhema word. When you go to the Bible and you read the logos that says by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. And then you take that and you meditate that and it forms a belief within you. When you stand and say, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. You are speaking a rhema word that carries in it the life of Almighty God. The word of life. So turn over to Romans chapter 4. We'll end with this verse tonight. Verse 17. Romans 4:17 says in the King James, as it is written, I have made you thee a father of many nations. So he's talking here, he's talking about this is what God did with Abraham. I've made thee a father of many nations before whom he believed. Look what it says. Even God who quickens the dead, which means gives life to the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. Calls those things that be not as though they were. How do we insert life into the dead parts of our life, of our being? You got dead finances. You got dead relationships. You got dead thinking. You got dead energy. How many of you know we're not supposed to be fatigued all the time? We're supposed to be tired all the time. We're not supposed to not be able to hear, not be able to see, Back in the summer, I had a little bout there, and I couldn't smell or taste. That was no fun. Anything I ate, I just couldn't. I don't like spice. I don't ever spice anything. I'm a wimp. When it comes to the hot spicy stuff, I'm pouring everything I can just to try to get a little taste on something. That's death. That's not life. I'm going to tell you right now. Amen. But how do we do it? We call things that be not as though they were. Now, what does that mean? It's not we call things that are as though they are not. You see? But here's what happens. And brother, at camp meeting several years ago, Brother Hagin said, there's some people, God told me to start teaching in some other areas. He said, there's people that God's raised up to teach faith as good as I can. And so he said, Charles Capps, he's one of them that God told me can teach it just as good as you. So he said, I want you to go on and do this, talk about the move of the Spirit thing. And Brother Capps made this statement about words. He said, instead of, the Bible says we can say what we have, but we can have what we say, but we've been saying what we have. And so we say things like, man, I'm tired. I'm just so tired. I'm exhausted. And every time we do that, we're naming ourselves. We're speaking what we don't want. We want to have energy. But this world, we've gotten in the flow of the world, and the world just talks negative about everything. We got to start talking what the Word says about it. Keep doing it, no matter what it looks like. The Weiss translation says, God, who makes alive those who are dead and calls things that are not in existence as being in existence. Speaking, I heard someone say this, speaking of a future reality as if it was a past fact. With as much confidence, you speak of a future reality with as much confidence as you do a past fact. Amen. You know, people, now we don't, in these things, where do we find out? Well, we find out from what God's Word says. We can speak. You know, we don't, I mean, I would imagine anybody, in, if you're born again, you know, where are you going to go after you leave this earth? Heaven, right? You can't talk me. I mean, I'm going to heaven. I'm supposed to have heaven on earth. Heaven on earth, right? Amen? But I've got, it's a future reality, but it's fact to me. I'm talking about it like it's real now. Well, we can do the same thing. Taking the word and speaking life or the word of life to each situation. Calling those things which be not as though they were. So in Proverbs it says it's in your hands. Here's another way to say that. You have to make the call. Calling those things that be not as though they were. You make the call. You're going to speak life or you're going to speak death? What do you need? Speak what you need. Amen? Now the way to do it is not start speak. The way to do it is go to the Word and for a while maybe just talk about it in the Spirit and talk about it in the other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. But then sometimes we need to learn the vocabulary of silence. Don't say anything until you can say what the Word says about the situation. Right? Sometimes we just need to. How many of you wish you had a, you threw the bait? How many of you wish you could reel that back in if you said it, you know? How many of you have ever been fishing? You throw that out there, you know, and you reel, you know, a little kid, they throw it out, they wheel it so fast, no fish could swim that fast and catch that bait, you know? But sometimes when you say something, you wish you go, oh! I know every husband in here has done that. You wish, oh! You said it. Thank God for crop failure. Hallelujah. So much of this is tied to our words and what God does. He created everything with His words. And we're made in His image. Have you ever thought about this? We're the only beings. I mean, last night the war for the Planet of the Apes was on. Apes don't talk. I don't care what you shoot them up with, they're not going to talk. God didn't create them to talk. We're the only created being on this earth that can talk, because we're the only ones that are given the right to choose life and death. So I encourage you, choose life, as the Bible said, that you may live. Father, we just thank You and praise You for Your word tonight. We thank You, Almighty God, that You have given us the ability to not only hear Your word, but then to speak Your word. Father, Holy Spirit, teach us and lead us and guide us into all the truth. Help us to speak the truth. Show us what to say, the truth about that situation in our life right now. Father, show us the truth. We know certain things. We know by Jesus' stripes we're healed. We know the truth is it's Your will that we be well. We know the truth is that all of our needs be met according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But there are some things, Father God, that we need to speak specifically by Your Spirit. So, Father, we thank You when we know not how to pray as we ought. We can pray out in an utterance, in a tongue that we have not learned. That's what I want to say. We have not learned, but yet it is a language that You know. When we speak in tongues, we pray not unto men, but unto You, God. Howbeit in the Spirit, we speak forth those mysteries. But then, Lord, help us to speak in our own understanding the words that need to be said over each and every situation. Now, you're here tonight, and if you don't know Jesus, you need to know Jesus tonight, or if you've walked away and you want to come back to the Lord and rededicate yourself to the Lord tonight, or if you'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you've never received the Holy Spirit. Or maybe it might be a situation where you have received, but you just kind of haven't prayed in tongues for so long that you really need someone maybe to talk to you just to help you get unstuck a little bit. All right. I want to look at, if you need to be born again, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to rededicate, reconsecrate yourself to the Lord, or you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with a fluent evidence of speaking in tongues, just like they did in the Bible days. It's not our church creed. It's what they did in the Bible. All right. If you want that tonight, just raise your hand so I can see it. I'm looking. Anybody want me to pray for them tonight? All right. Ask your neighbor. You need prayer tonight. Just ask him. Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. I know some of your spouses like say you need to go up there, but I know what you're. That's a different altar call. We'll do that one later. All right. Everybody, stand up then. Looks like everybody's good. Everybody's good. I think Brother Bill, we good. We got church on Wednesday night, right? Brother Bill, we got an hour of power. I think Brother Bill's going to be ministering, so be here for that. Praise the Lord. All right, God bless you. You have a great week. Wave at several folks and let them know you're glad they're here. And we will see you back at church on Wednesday night.